Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right. I want you to think of the worst storm, the worst storm that you've ever been through. What's the worst storm you've ever been through? Anybody ever been through a tornado? Okay. Bob's here someplace. Bob Farbrook. There you are, Bob. You guys lost your house in a tornado at Hallam. In the basement, it took the whole top of your house away. You were part of that. Yeah, so you've been through a tornado. Is that the worst storm you've been through? All right. Okay. Anybody been through a hurricane? A couple of you? All right. I've been through a hurricane, two of them, in a week. So I'll talk more about that. All right. I want you just to think about one of those storms. And that comes up in our passage today in 8:22. We've covered a variety of subjects. Lately in chapter 8, we've talked about the parable of the sower, a lamp on a stand. So those have been the last couple weeks. And today we're looking at chapter 8, 22 through 25. And it's where Jesus calms a sudden storm that threatens to sink the boat that Jesus and his disciples are in on the Sea of Galilee. All right? Even in our culture, in our society, it's been in the news. Probably the most recent storms have been what? Flooding in Colorado, right? Now it's affected Nebraska, right? I think they're actually having some flooding in Big Springs, right? In North Platte, aren't they? Yeah, there's so much water that is coming through from Colorado that it's causing it to rise. And some of those rivers were, I think, actually dry here leading up to that. So those have been probably one of the most devastating. I don't know, have they ever said how many people? I know they had like 500 people missing. I don't know. I think that's probably come down now. That are still missing? Wow. Pretty major storm. So this event that we see in Luke is also recorded in Matthew and Mark. Matthew and Mark place this event on the evening that Jesus taught the parable of the sower. Okay, so Luke kind of has this in sequential order here, chronological order. Matthew records that Jesus not only taught on the parable of the sower, but also on the parable of the tares, of the mustard seed, of the leavened bread, of the hidden treasure, pearl of great price, the dragnet. And so that's found in Matthew chapter 13. So what we get the picture of is that Jesus had spent the day teaching out in the countryside, teaching the people. At the end of the day, he probably needed to get away a little bit, and they said, here, just hop in the boat, and we're going to go to the other side. All right? And so we're going to pick up that story in verse 22. Let's read this together. It says, one day Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Okay? And we're referring to the Sea of Galilee. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Okay? You ever had that long, exhausting day? You get in that boat, it's bobbing up and down a little bit, gentle breeze. He's out, okay? But as they were making their way across, a squall came down on the lake, okay? Now, if you, I don't know, has anybody ever been to the Sea of Galilee? I have to get over there at some point. That's on my bucket list here, so. But Nigel, bring up the picture of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles wide, 8 miles across. And you can see the hills that surround places of the Sea of Galilee, okay? And it's actually about 700 feet below sea level. But there's, you got the Jordan River flowing into it from the north, and then it exits out, flows down the length of Israel, and empties into the Dead Sea. But it's actually 700 feet below sea level. But you have these high banks, these hills on both sides, and it sits down in there. And so at times the winds come off those hills and can cause almost an instant storm, okay? And that's what happened on that day on the Sea of Galilee. And so as the wind picked up, the waves get higher, they begin to swamp their boat, all right? And they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Now, that's not what it says in my Bible. It says, Master, Master, we're going to drown, right? Exclamation point, right? Okay, put yourself in that boat. You wouldn't say, hey, Jesus, we're about ready to drown here. The waves are coming in, okay? It's kind of like, Jesus, we're going to sink. It's getting desperate. And it says that he got up, he rebuked the wind. We don't use that word rebuked a lot, but it means to correct. It's a strong command. And so he talks to the wind and the waves and he says, stop. And what happens? It says that the storm subsided and all was calm. Matthew and Luke give the impression that immediately the waves and the wind stopped. And usually when a wind and the waves died down, it takes a while for that to happen, but it seemed like it was kind of an immediate thing that took place. In fear, and then Jesus says, where is your faith? Ouch. He asks the disciples. And in fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Who is this that's in our boat? He's a great teacher, but he's more than that. Who is this? That even the wind and the waves, the water, that they obey him. Incredible. Father, we go to you this morning. We ask your blessing upon your word. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our lives. I believe there's some good nuggets of truth here that can help us in our day-to-day walk with you. We give you the thanks and the praise. Your name we ask. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about navigating the storms of life. And as we look at this account in the Gospel of Luke, there's some things I believe that we can apply to our lives. And starting in verse 24, first part, the waves come up, the boat begins to get swamped, and they actually just found a boat on the Sea of Galilee that they're kind of rebuilding and putting back together. So it's kind of an original boat from the time of probably Jesus was around. But the storm comes up, and what do? They cry out for help, right? Okay, now, when you cry out for something, it's a little intense, isn't it? It's a little intense. It's not like, hey, Jesus, you know, wake up. It's, help! We need some help! We're going to sink! And I remember once, you know, I've been out on the water a lot, just boating, fishing, but I remember up in Alaska, I think the last time I took our boys up there to go fishing in Alaska with my dad before they moved down, we were loading the boat, and on the river, there's a lot of current, okay? It's a pretty swift river, the Kenai River, fishing for king salmon, and he was pulling in, but the current was coming this way, and it pushed him up against the dock, and it was so much force, it pushed the back end of the boat. And I mean, the water's going, I mean, the boat was filled like that. And by instinct, he hit the throttle and zipped it out of there, pulled it out of the hole and onto the trailer. We're trying to load it, and you know, if he wouldn't have done that, he'd have been, my dad can't swim, and I don't know if he had his life jacket on. But it turned bad just like that. I saw the boat, it just filled up, and he zipped out of there. But it's a pretty fearful thing to have your boat filled up. But they cried out to God. And the first principle in your bulletin there is that Jesus hears your cries for help. Jesus hears your cries for help. Now, Matthew was a tax collector, right? Peter and James and John were fishermen. You think they had seen a storm or two before? I think they had. But this must have been such a storm that it even had them a little bit unnerved. And it had to have been a pretty intense storm that they were willing to cry out and help being who they are. You know, being seasoned fishermen, you know what? They probably thought, you know, we can handle this. You know, the waves start picking up and they're lapping. They start rolling a little bit harder, a little more intense, and they're all pitching in. We can still handle this. We can handle that. Jesus is sleeping. Nobody wanted to wake Jesus up. Who would want to wake Jesus up from his nap? Okay? Any takers? No, I wouldn't want to be. All right? And so it's getting a little more intense. We can still handle this. We can still handle this. And all of a sudden, now the water's coming in the boat. The boat's beginning to sink. It's kind of like, okay, we can handle this. And they cry out for help. Now, I know none of you are like the disciples, okay? You never get into a place and say, I can handle this, I can handle this, and all of a sudden you realize, I can't handle this. Help! Right? But isn't that what we sometimes do? And see, God wants us to, we are going to have times that things are difficult, but he wants us, I think, to walk in faith and not desperation. I think there's a difference. I remember, it had to be about age 12, we went on a Royal Ranger camp out, me and my best friend, and there was other guys there too, but we shared a pup tent. And that was in those days where the pup tents were that green canvas, okay? And they had no floor, it was just two pine pole sticks and the canvas over the top, you know? I don't know if anybody ever had one of those, but, you know, now they're all nylon or whatever. This was just a simple pup tent, and we were on the grass. But we had big plans. We spent the Friday night, you know, I don't know how much sleep we got, but we were up bright and early Saturday morning. We went across to the bait shop, and it was a cafe. It was one of those little resort stores on Golden Lake up in North Dakota. And so we were going to rent a boat and we were going to go fishing. So we rented this rowboat and we got out there. It was nice and everything was good. And we actually went across the other side where we were camping and we began to then come back. But as we came back, guess what happened? Now there was wind. There was wind. And the wind came up pretty good. Now it wasn't going to swamp our boat, but both of us rowing together, we could, you know, we'd make some progress and we'd go. And it's kind of like, we got exhausted, and all of a sudden we were right back where we started, you know. No matter what we did, we couldn't get that boat to budge and move ahead. And so it got a little bit desperate, and, you know, we're about 12 years old. It's about 12 years old. You know, we were still pretty young. And finally, a pontoon came by, and we, you know, we need help. It was a little, had to swallow a little pride, and we gave them the rope, and they pulled us across. You know, and I think that's sometimes where we're at in our own lives, that sometimes we try to bite off more than we can handle. We try to control things instead of trusting God and coming to him before the waves come and the wind comes. And we walk by faith instead of desperation. But you know what? Jesus hears our cries for help. And if Jesus is in your boat and you turn it over to him, you have nothing to fear. Amen? Jesus hears your cry for help. But it also says in the last part of 24 that he got up and he rebuked, don't you love that word, the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Rebuked, again, is that strong command. I don't know what he said. He said, be still, I don't know. And the waves and the wind stopped. Now, has that worked for you? It hasn't worked for me. But see, Jesus was wanting to show his disciples the power that he had and that was also available to them. And I believe that Jesus knew, I have a feeling, I have a hunch, whose idea was it to get into the boat and go to the other side? Jesus, yeah. Do you think he knew that the storm was going to come? I kind of have a hunch maybe he knew that was going to be the case. So why would he put his disciples and himself in harm's way? Why do you think he did that? Why does your teacher have you take a test at school? Right? So you're stretched, so they know what you learn, what you know. Jesus wanted to see where they're at in their faith on a scale of 1 to 10. Where were they at? 1, 0. But there's no way of measuring a person's faith unless you're actually put in a situation where you have to operate in faith and trust God. Jesus knew that that storm was going to come, but he also wanted to test their faith. And the point I want us to catch is that the wind and the waves obeyed his command. And if Jesus can calm a storm in this fashion, he's also able to calm the storms in your life. If we trust him. You know, think about the progression of faith in the lives of the disciples. So they had this storm, and then later on they're going to be placed in another storm, and Jesus is going to say, hey, you guys get in the boat, and he sends them across. He goes, I'll catch up with you guys later. I don't know if they ever thought, how are you going to catch up with us later? We have the boat. I don't know. Okay, but they get out in the middle of the night, they're going across, and what happens? Storm comes up, right? And there again, they're The waves are coming in, the storm. And as they are fighting the wind and the waves, what happens? They see who walking by? Jesus. He's walking by on the water. Peter gets out, tries to walk on water. He does for a little bit. Jesus reaches out, pulls him out. And so we see this time Jesus is in the boat with them, and the next time he's not. But he was working to build their faith in their life. And God wants us to work, to live out faith in our own lives, to bring that progression of faith. Jesus, the second principle there is Jesus can calm the storms in your life. He has the power and authority to get the job done. And if we entrust those things into his life, into his care and keeping, he will take care of us. If we cry out for help, and if we trust him, his power and authority is enough to get the job done. Now, there's a beer commercial out there. Okay, it's football season. And you, if I say this, you guys will know it probably. And the slogan is, it's only weird if... if it doesn't work, all right? All right, yeah, so you guys know it. It's only weird if it doesn't work, all right? They're doing all these weird things and trying to get their team to win, right? Make the field goal, make the touchdown. It's only weird if it doesn't work. You know what? People do a lot of weird things. Why? Because we put faith and hope and trust in things that don't work, don't we? I want you to think about that. The people in Colorado, I have a feeling there was people with a lot of wealth, a lot of nice homes. Did that save and spare their life? Yes or no? No. But see, we put our faith and trust in some of those things. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with having a savings and an emergency plan. We should all have that. But it's not going to always protect you from the storms of life. We put it in relationships and people. We think that, you know what, I got that person in my life and life is just going to be hunky-dory, and if anything happens, that person is going to come to my rescue. Well, guess what? People are human, right? And they will let us down, even those that love us the most at times. But God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And although he questions the disciples on their faith, did he let them drown? No, he didn't. He had them pretty nervous, right? If you walk with Jesus, there's going to be some times you're a little nervous. But he didn't let them drown. And he's able to calm the storms in your life, whether they're physical storms or they're storms of relationships, of financial issues, just even finding our purpose in life. He's able to help us navigate through those things. There's a third thing. In verse 25, Jesus says, where is your faith? You know, isn't that just a piercing question? Where's your faith? They're probably going, I don't know. I don't know. I left it at home this morning. I don't know where my faith is. I had it when we got on the, I thought I had it when we got on the ship here. Where's your faith? You know, that can catch a lot of us. And I have a feeling at that point those guys felt pretty, they felt about yay high, right? Where's your faith? Here they were with Jesus, the master teacher, the rabbi. They had that privilege of being with him, and yet they lacked faith. And what I see is that, I'll make sure I don't get too far ahead. Is that Jesus calls us to new levels of faith. That's the third point. Jesus calls us to new levels of faith. And as you study the Gospels, it's interesting to notice the progression. Several times Jesus would say to the disciples, where is your faith, right? And they fail. But 3-4 years down the road, now they are leading the early church. Jesus has gone to heaven, and you see in the book of Acts that now they are leading the early church. Start off with 3,000. The church is growing by leaps and bounds. And they are the ones now leading the church. And you know what? Now they're praying for people. They're praying for a crippled man in Acts chapter 3. And he gets up and he leaps and jumps for joy. They're standing up against opposition and persecution with joy. And now they're operating in great faith up here. But where did they start? They started down here, didn't they? It didn't happen overnight. But they became people of great faith over time. As they went through some tests, as they hung out with Jesus and saw, you know what? God can calm the storms. Why? Because they had actually experienced it. You know what? You can read the Bible, but until you get into a difficult situation and trust God and see God bring you through it, you're probably not going to be a person of great faith. You have to go through that experience yourself. You have to walk with God by yourself. Have those white knuckle experiences. You ever had a white knuckle experience where you're just hanging on for your life? There's no way that you're going to grow in your faith unless you go through some storms, just as they did. But Jesus is in, he cares about building the faith in our life, and he wants to raise us to a new level. And so we need faith in the storms of life, but we also, you know what, need faith to do the will of God. And to be the people of God. So not only in the storms, but also to implement the dreams and the plans that God has for you. You need faith. Now, if it's something you can accomplish on your own, I really question if it's of God. Because to me, whenever God speaks, it's always beyond, say, God, that's not possible. That can't happen. Right? Because I'm thinking in Brent faith or... You know, that's what I'm able to do. And God's saying, no, I'm not talking about what you're able to do. I'm talking about what I am able to do. There's a big difference, isn't there? And see, if we're going to fulfill the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives, it's going to take the faith that speaks to the wind and the waves and says, be calm. And that's the faith that God wants us to ultimately have within our lives. Now, you might not be there. But on your bulletin there, on your program, I want you to write down, if you're sharing one, you can each have your own spot there. Where are you at? Are you a 3? Are you a 1? Are you a 5? Oh, maybe there's some people here that are an 8 in their level of faith. 10's the highest. Yeah. Yeah. Where are you at? Write it down. Put it someplace that a couple years from now, you can look back and say, you know what? That's where I was. But now this is where I am. Think of Peter. He was down here. But you know what? Then he was willing to get out of the boat and walk on water. Now, it only lasted for a few steps, but that's more than most of us have taken, okay? Right? His faith is growing. Okay? And then we see him in the book of Acts. He's praying for people, and God's doing some great things through him. He gets up on the day of Pentecost and he preaches and 3,000 get saved. That's pretty good. Kind of a hostile crowd that was there. His faith is increasing. See, he started down here. And you know what? You may say, you know what? I'm down here. Great. God doesn't want you to stay there. He loves you, but he's calling you to move up. And that's only going to happen as you walk with him and as you fulfill the dreams and purposes that God places within your heart and as he brings trials into your life and tests. Don't think, sometimes it's because we do wrong, right? Okay? Sometimes we bear the consequences for doing wrong, but sometimes you're going to go through tests just because you're a believer of God and God says, you know what? I need to increase their faith. I always used to think when anything bad happened, I was going, man, what did I do wrong? Sometimes it's just because you're walking with God and God's wanting you to grow. All right? I'm going to have the musicians come. After the wind died down and the seas became smooth as glass, it says that the disciples were filled with what? What were they filled with? Two words. It's in your Bible. Fear and what? And amazement. Fear and amazement. Now, I know a lot of you don't want to see God as a fearful thing. But I think it hit them as they saw the waves subside. And the wind stopped. And they looked at each other and says, who is in our boat? Part of them wanted, I think, to run and hide. And the other part of them says, you know what, this is pretty cool. We're with somebody that can make the wind and the waves stop. But the other part says, man, are we done in? We're sitting with somebody that is truly God. You know, miracles are pretty cool. Agreed? But in order to need a miracle, you need to be in a boat that's sinking. Or you need to be going through a test. And we see God provide. And see, often we don't want to be in that place of trust in Him. And I've come through several tests in life. And I was naive enough to say, boy, I'm glad that's passed. I don't have to face that again. God says, no, I've raised your faith a little bit. Now we're going to raise it up a little bit more. And I go, are you up for the challenge? Are you in? God hears our cries for help. And even better yet, He's able to calm the storms in life, whether they're real storms or just things that we encounter in our life, tests. And then better yet, He has a plan and a purpose for it all. It's not by chance, but He's wanting to call you to a higher level. Because you cannot walk with God without faith. The first level of faith is what? Where we say, God, I trust You alone for my salvation. I believe that You died on the cross for me. Until we get to that place where we trust God with our eternity, with our salvation, we really can't walk with Him, can we? So that's where it starts. But then the journey of faith just goes on from there. To trust Him with our finances, to trust Him with our children, to trust Him with our decisions and our plans in our life. The journey of faith, navigating the storms of life. So faith is built going through the storms of life. But if you have Jesus in your boat, you'll never sink. Amen? How many want Jesus in your boat? Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with this course, but maybe you've never just put in words. Maybe you've considered yourself a Christian, but you've never said, you know what, Christ, Jesus, I ask You into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And maybe you need to do that this morning. You sense that God is just calling you to do that. And so I'm just going to ask you to pray along with me, even if you've prayed the prayer before. It's nothing special about the prayer. We're just going to pray together saying, God, come into my life. We're taking that first step of faith of making You our Lord and Savior. So let's pray together saying, dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Lord, help me to be a person of faith. And help my faith to grow. And I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that chorus together. We just learned it here this morning. Let's turn our hearts and our eyes upon Jesus. It's easy to get fixed on the waves and the wind, isn't it? And that's when we panic. But if we keep our eyes on Him, that's when His peace and His strength come. One of the family vacations that I just really enjoyed was when we lived further up north, we cut across Minnesota and Wisconsin, the northern part, by the Great Lakes. And we went into Duluth. and it was just a beautiful time of the year. But what I really liked about Duluth was the lighthouses. They're positioned around the lake. And they're not there just to look good. They served a purpose, right? Before the days of GPSs and all those navigations, they were the navigation. Not only in good weather, but also in stormy weather and difficult. The lighthouse, they kept their eye on that, and that was their navigation. They would get safely home. You know, and if we keep our eyes on Jesus, instead of all the storms and the success and sometimes all the stuff that's happened around us, if we keep it on Jesus, we're going to be okay. So when we take our eyes off of Him, that we run into things. Amen? Father, I pray You go with Your people today. Help us to keep our eyes and our focus on You. Keep our hearts set on You, dear God. And go with us. Raise our faith. Lord, we want people of great faith. That is Your goal and Your purpose. Lord, You're jealous for us. You love us with an undying love. And so go with us this week, I pray. Lead and direct and be the focus of our life. We give You the thanks and the praise, and may Your blessing and Your favor shine upon Your people today. In the name of Jesus we ask, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. If you see a new face, introduce yourself. There's some refreshments there. If you want to grab a cookie, we'll tide you over until you eat. I encourage you to do so. God bless you today.